This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are live here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram. I just got the thumbs up from Pet Life Radio. So we are here ready to talk pets. You're here live with Dr. Jeff Werber, your host for the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. And if you are just a glutton for punishment and you want more, at 10 a.m., I'm going to be doing my Talk Shop Live video with my products. And just, again, you know me, I don't really do this just to sell products. I come to educate. So the thing I want to do is make sure that any questions you have, if you don't get to them, if I don't get to them during this show, come back and join me on Talk Shop Live, and we can talk then about whatever you want to talk about, which, you know, is my joy and satisfaction. So hopefully all of you had, well, first of all, how to get a hold of me. Well, you can easily get me here on Pet Life Radio. Just log in and just start typing away. And we'll, if you want, we can also, if you will have your pet with you, we can have you join on the show. And for those of you here on Instagram, just I see you're waving. I'm waving back to everybody as I can. And if you have any good questions, you know what? I shouldn't say good questions because that's all relative. If you have any question is a good question. So then we can help you as well. So first of all, I hope all of you had a nice, safe Thanksgiving and hope you ate well, maybe not too well. Some of us have. It maybe ate a little bit too much. But I hope your dogs or your cats didn't eat too much. So hold on a second. We have a question here from Macy Toomey. Visiting family in cold Michigan with a 15-year-old golden mutt. He enjoys walks, but has trouble getting up, occasionally slipping. And we ask for taking care of this back. Okay, so great question. And one of the things I want to talk today about also, by the way, fractures. And because I've had three dogs present with broken bones in the last 2 weeks, which is unusual because my clients don't usually get. So anyway, so let's talk about, you know, you have first of all, 15-year-old golden. That alone is amazing. So it's a golden mutt. So any big breed dogs don't usually live to 15. So the fact that he's at 15 is great. So, you know, usually what I recommend, first of all, I'm sure, I would hope he's had some sort of workup and making sure that his x-rays show maybe some dysplasia, maybe some arthritis, because depending on what the nature of the problem is, if it's more skeletal, like arthritis, degenerative joint disease, there's one way to treat. If it's more neurologic, it may be another way to treat. So it would be great if you can to find out what the underlying cause is, or it's usually a combination of both as a 15-year-old dog. So for arthritis, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, glucosamine, chondroitin, maybe if there's some pain, gabapentin, but there is a new injection. You got to do some homework. You know, this particular injection called Librela, for me, for my patients, has worked wonders. I have not had any of the bad reactions that you see or read about. Understand another thing. This Librela has been used in Europe for like 5 or 6 years. They've done hundreds of thousands of cases. As with any medication, any particular individual dog couldn't have an untoward reaction to any medication at any given time. I mean, I remember hearing about a reaction my dad had to penicillin, and this is after taking it for years. So it's not necessarily the medication's fault. It is the body's, how it reacts to the medication, and it's unpredictable. I always say, you know, you check out some of these commercials for the, you know, I don't even know the names of them because I don't have these ailments, but whether it's Crohn's and colitis, whether it's eczema, whether, you know, you name it, and they have these medications. And they show the scenes of these people enjoying their family and doing sporting things and all that. And then at the very end, you know, goes through all the side effects, including, and could cause death. Well, yes. And just so you know, the way it works, if there is a animal or a person, depending on the trial, that dies during the trial, regardless of that cause of death, they have to report it. And so it may have nothing to do with the medication, but they still have to report it as a death. So it blows my mind. Anyway, I have had good luck. Talk to your veterinarian. Librela, it's great. Now, for neurologic things, if we think it's a disc, as much as the newer, younger generation seems to like the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, and for, you know, basically arthritic pain, I agree. things like metprofen, carprofen, and meloxicam, which is Medicam, and Daricoxib. They're all great, and they hopefully work. But if I could see it's disc-related, or there's a calcified disc, or a disc putting pressure, and we're seeing true neurologic deficits, I'm good old-fashioned. I shoot for the steroids. And interestingly, I had a conversation like this with one of my colleagues, a board-certified veterinary surgeon. We were talking about the same thing. And I said, God, you know, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I prefer for really bad neuro cases like this, I prefer the corticosteroids. And he looks, he goes, Jeff, so do I. So I mean, there's a place for everything. But anyway, so that's what I would recommend. Now, one more thing, because it's cold and slippery, you might want to consider booties, because these dogs lose their traction because of their strain. So they slip a lot more easily. So maybe some of these booties, at least during a walk, when it's cold, when it's icy, that might help as well, just to add some stability. It's not always a lack of strength. It's also just a little instability when it comes to slipping. So these booties are up. Now, if you're going to use booties, by the way, side note, don't get the ones that are all leather or all rubber, because if you keep the feet in those too long, they get moist. Because remember, pads sweat. So I like the ones that are sort of a mesh or a knit on top, but have the rubber bottom. But again, if you're just using it just for the walk, anyone is okay. So I hope that helps. Let's go to the next one. Eloise, yes, it's amazing. That product that is created by a veterinarian. Everyone should check it out. So I'm glad. I use them too. And my dogs love them. And I'm going to, one of the things I want to do, and it's not just, it's almost like a guide to watch what you're buying and look more cautiously, carefully into something, a product, not just by price. Because I'm going to show on some of the products that I have and some of my competitors, we have on every one of the active ingredients that are shared, and there many, most of them do, we have more concentration of the active ingredients than they do. So they may be cheaper, but you got to look what you're getting paid, what you're buying. So that's okay. All right. So hold on. I'm going to look for more questions. My vet recommended spaying at 6 months before first heat. What do you recommend? So my feeling about that, and I think we've talked about this before, it all depends on the breed. If it's a large breed dog or any breed, like there's so many mixes that has a large breed in its genetics, I let them have, my recommendation anyway, is to let them have their first heat. Definitely spay them before their second heat. Now, the reason is the link, you still get an advantage of the breast cancer reduction, but large breeds that are prone to bone cancer as older senior dogs, it seems that there is a greater incidence in long bone cancer in these dogs, these breeds that were pre-pubertally neutered or spayed. So therefore, I let them have their first heat, but very important to get them before their second heat, and do not let them breed on that first heat. Now, one other thing, if you're going to do 6 months, because assuming it's a small breed, don't spay or neuter until all the adult teeth have erupted. Because one thing about, we know about smaller breeds, they often don't lose their baby teeth on schedule, and they end up with what's called retained deciduous teeth. And if they're not causing much malocclusion, meaning not crowding the mouth badly, when the tooth erupts and the baby tooth hasn't fallen out yet, you want to pull it. And if you know you're going to spay in 6 months and it's already 5.5 months, 2 weeks, let's get all those teeth to fall out. Because if they haven't fallen out by then, you need to remove them at the same time as the spay or the neuter. You remove the baby teeth, of course. So that's why at least I recommend to know which teeth may or may not need to be extracted. All right. I'm waving. Librela be good for hips? Yes. If the hips are arthritic and causing pain, hip dysplasia, then absolutely. Okay. Hello, some hot stuff. And let's see. Liz Clowner. I'm looking for Eloise. Use it at games. Yes. I've had a lot of good luck. Thank you, Eloise. I'm not the only one. No, it's really, really good. How often? It's great. New York Yankee. First of all, good morning. Or for you, probably afternoon. How often do you recommend getting your old dog's nails trimmed? So really, there is no hard, fast rule. It depends how often they grow. Dogs that are exercising a lot, usually larger breeds, they seem to wear their dogs out. The only one you got to watch out for is that dew claw, because that never hits the ground. So even if the others are being worn down by the cement and the pavement, that one never touches the ground. So you got to keep an eye on that. What you want to make sure is they're not over them. Now, one gauge, and again, there's a lot of leeway here, but if they're on hardwood and you hear clicking all the time when they walk, chances are the nails might be a little too long. So you might want to have them trimmed. Now, there are some breeds, for example, like a Doberman Pinscher, they grow nails quickly, but when they grow their nails quickly, the quick also advances. And so when you trim the nails, you might end up getting them cutting the quick as well, which is bleeding and a little bit of pain because you're hitting the nerve. So I recommend for those, it might be better to have your veterinarian do it or just do them more frequently. Or one thing you can think about, and this is something you can do for yourself, get a trimmer. It's an electronic trimmer, and you can get them online now. And it's got the circular file, and there's a little opening. You put the nail in, and it's a Dremel tool. And what it does, it just gently shaves the nail down, and you can also round the edges. And another thing, a lot of people trim their pets' nails because they're really sharp. Just know, when you have a freshly cut nail, the edges where it cuts are going to be sharp. So you want to get either an emery board or a Dremel, an automatic file, and just round out the edges a little bit. It's very easy, and it does not hurt them at all. All right. Opposite of a dog with loose tooth, but has high liver enzymes on a pre-op blood work and isn't ready for anesthesia. Well, that is a tough one. Depends on what is the problem with the liver and which liver enzymes are high and what is being done for the liver enzymes. So, you know, there are some anesthetic protocols that are very safe for even with dogs with liver disease. And one of the things I have to say that sometimes the problem associated with really bad teeth and the effect you can have on the heart and the kidneys may be worse than the risk for not doing them because of the liver. So it really depends. It's a tightrope walk. You have to make a decision. What I would do is I would highly recommend, anytime I anesthetize, they get a catheter in and they're on surgical fluids. So I would get some surgical fluids. I hope the dog is on some sort of liver supplement or liver diet, something like Denimarin. And that, again, could help. And also how stable these liver enzymes have been. If they're really holding steady and the dog is acting and eating fine, then obviously they probably will tolerate the anesthetic really well. You can use a light anesthetic. You can use propofol as your induction. Put them on sevoflurane and just quickly, you know, pull the bad tooth or teeth. So I don't know if I would not do it unless the dog is really sick with those liver enzyme elevations. But you got to tell, I don't treat the tests. I treat the dog. So I've had dogs that are really sick with mild elevations. I'm more worried about that than a dog who has elevations, high elevations, but is totally fine, eating, playful. So here's a dog that probably has had chronic issues, have the changes are very slow, and they're living with him, they're doing fine, they're compensating. So again, it's a conversation you need to have with your veterinarian, but I would not, there's no hard and fast rule. You have to look at each case individually. Louise, cause of so many dogs with allergies now. You know, it's a good question, and I wish I had the answer. Nobody knows whether it's pollens, whether it's food, whether it's just new allergenic materials into the environment. It's hard to see. Or are we just recognizing them more? I have no answer. I don't know if it's anything we're doing. I don't know whether it's the genetics. And so therefore, if we have dogs with allergies and, you know, you have a lot of mutts out there, so a lot of dogs breedings that were not planned. So if you have a dog with allergies mild allergies and they happen to breed with another dog with mild allergies, now the offspring could have major allergies. So I don't know. All right. Paragala, it's good. Hello, hello. Somehow about 6 months ago, I asked you about my dog chasing his tail and squealing. We cannot figure out nor could it be the vets. This was intermittent for many years. Finally learned it was fleas. Yes. Always check for fleas. Even now, which we're not really having heavy-duty flea season, so, you know, they turn around and they whip around. And this is what I say. There are a lot of different kinds of scratching. And I always ask the question of this. Is the dog just doing like this, or does he all of a sudden seem to be calmly sitting on our favorite bed, chilling with you guys, watching TV? All of a sudden, he whips around. you know, like that, and starts nibbling on himself. That to me tells fleas. So I would say, if I see that, and sometimes I will scroll, push the hair backwards against the grain and look and look and look, and finally I'll see either a flea or some flea dirt. And that's a sign that fleas were here. So that does make sense. It's good. It's good that the answer was found. But yes, fleas, they could be quite the nuisance. And even we're seeing fleas in different climates now that are becoming year-round problems. So it's not just spring and summer. All right. M. Cash out joined. I'm not embarrassed to say I didn't always get the flea meds. Well, that could happen then. So this is true. I'm waving. Stephen, hello. Stephen Robin, hello. We went for a consult for an MRI and planned to have the MRI neurologist ask the right question and say, that's true. Totally true. Yes, yes. Well, I saw a case this week, maybe it was last week, of a dog. I was a second opinion. And the next step by this unnamed, I'm not going to name it, animal hospital with young doctors that, young doctors learn. I don't expect them to know. In fact, I hired my first doc when I started my practice. This is back, oh my God, 35 years ago, almost 37 years ago. And it was interesting because a new graduate, how much can I expect that a new graduate is really going to know? And the answer is very little. So then how do you select, when you hire these people, how do you hire them? Based on what? So I got to tell you, based on this. So her name was Dr. Judy Aronson, friendly to this day, amazing veterinarian, super smart, went to Tufts. And so I had to leave her alone for a minute in a room. And she was shadowing me. And it was there for a working interview. And I had to run out to one of my techs needed for something. I ran out. I come back in, I don't know, not even 5 minutes later. There's Judy. She is sitting with this adorable kitty cat tucked up under her chin right here. And as she's writing the history with her right hand, she's got this cute cat. And I looked in there and I said, hired, no doubt, she's hired. You can't teach that. That love, that affection that we need to show for our pets, that's what makes veterinarians that have great reputations. And I lecture about this a lot. And I talk about it with veterinarians. It's clients don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when I saw that, and Judy turned out to be a fantastic hire, not only did she care tremendously, she was amazing, but she was really, really smart. So again, so this case was a young doctor. Of course, they're afraid to miss things. So they want to, they're test after test after test after test. Why don't you get a little history first? That's the art of practice, is really delving a little bit deeper into the history. And I solved this problem in one office call. And and they were ready to spend, again, thousands on MRIs. So anyway, just the ultrasound is trying to come down. Wait it out for sure. So do give flea meds. Well, the meds that I like, and again, be careful going online. I can tell you this, fipronil and imidacloprid, they were the kings 25 years ago. And I find them just ineffective. They're just not working anymore. Still very safe. So the over-the-counter commercial products that have active ingredient of either fipronil or imidacloprid, I don't want to mention brand names, they are really not effective. Now, there are some others that are kind of good, but I am a fan of the isoxazolines. There are four brands out there, and those I will mention names because I have no preference. It's Prevecto, good for 3 months. You can also have a one-month option. It is Credelio and Credelio Plus if you want heartworm. NexGard and NexGard Plus if you want heartworm. And Simparica and Simparica Trio if you want the heartworm. So they are all safe, all good. Now, there is a lot out there on the internet about these medications possibly causing seizures. I have not found this to be true. And speaking to my very good friend and colleague, Noga's Dr. Flea, Dr. Mike Dryden, professor emeritus at Kansas State University, who had a tough loss yesterday, he says it seems to be can predispose animals to seizures in those dogs that already have a history or a predisposition from other reasons of seizures. It's not going to take a normal dog out of the blue and cause seizures. And they've shown this in their labs again and again. And if they react to one of the isoxazolines, don't be afraid to try one of the others. They don't know what the link is. but there is a link, but they find that it's not the isoxazolines, it's one of the medications that may be doing it. Switch to one of the others. All right, while we move on, before we go on and I have more and a lot of hellos, I'm gonna break for a commercial break. So I stop getting dirty looks from Mark, who has gotta run the commercials. So don't go away here. We'll talk during the break, but on Pet Life Radio, we'll be back after these short messages. Take it away, Mark.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back live here at Pet Life Radio. During the break, a question came up I wanted to say. I've heard shots like Bordetella and Parvo distemper last 3 years. Is that true? So here's my take. The Bordetella, though, again, highly recommended, is really not a great vaccine. It's not great. It's because it's not it's a virus. It's a bacterium. The shot is really a bacterium. It's hard to get one that sort of replicates itself within the body. So if you are a frequent daycare person, daycare, a boarding facility, dog park, your dog is constantly playing with other dogs. Most of these facilities actually recommend the Bordetella every 6 months, as they should. I remember learning in vet school that it was an older vaccine back then, and they said it was really good for 3, maybe 4 months. So if you really wanted year-round protection, you had to do it at least 3 times. Now, that would be a little impractical. So a lot of these places recommend it twice every 6 months, which is really not wrong. So the max would be once a year. Since my dogs have their own pack, they are a daycare every single day, but in my backyard. So therefore, I don't give them annual, every 6 months. I do it once a year. And so Bordetella, now distemper parvo, here's my tech. I do the puppy vaccine series. I then booster them 1 year later. This is following Dr. Gene Dodds. And then after that, it's every 3 years. And so the influenza, if you do it, that's once a year. The lepto, if you do it, that's once a year. So the only one that's 3 years are rabies and the distemper parvo. And I do it. Now, there are other thoughts that they will wait 3 years, even after the last 16-week puppy shot. That is okay. I mean, it's each his own. I've had this conversation. Dr. Dodds is so the one that I follow. She likes to do it, boost it at a year, but after that, it's every 3. Rabies. Rabies, if given to a dog prior, younger than a year, they say it's only good for a year to be safe. After that, it's every 3 years. Since the first rabies shot should be given around 16 weeks, I like push it to 20. Why? Because at 16 weeks, we're giving the last of the puppy series. And in my mind, I think it's just too much. It's not necessarily the vaccine. The body can handle it. But I'm worried about the adjuvant, the preservatives, all that stuff. I see vaccine reactions. So I like to split it up a little bit. Wait a month, 3 or 4 weeks, and then give the rabies then, and then it's good for a year. But every subsequent, it's good for 3 years. Now, I have to say, that is here in California. There are some states that require rabies every year. So you need to check with your own state recommendations. Yes, I figured that was parvo. You can't fool me, Vicky. We remember Judy too. I still keep in touch with her. She stopped practicing years ago. She went to work for IDEX, and now she's retired, but a heck of a veterinarian. JB, how are you? Okay, let's see, Dahlia. Welcome, Dahlia's Kitchenia, looks like. Welcome. All right, John, Brittany, Fluffton's Crafts, hello. Hope you're doing well. Yes, Dr. Dodd is an amazing woman. She's great. All right, Sushi is too, yes. All right, let's see. All right, so that's questions we have. All right, so really quickly, If you stay tuned, please, if you want to come back and hear more education, see me attend on Talk Shop Live. Now, let's talk about fractures, because I had a number of them. And you need to learn, there are a lot of different types of fractures. And sometimes your veterinarian is going to say, we can cast it. Sometimes we need to do surgery. Let me just give you the basics of fracture. This is the thought process that goes in. First of all, you have to handle kittens and puppies that are growing, sometimes differently than adults, understand. And the type of fracture really makes a big difference. So if you have a super clean fracture, all right, where the edges are nice and smooth, and the fracture is a mid-shaft, either radius ulna or tibia, okay, and fibula, then you can cast it depending on if there are any ways that the two segments can catch each other, like if it's a little jagged edge. If it's a smooth edge, you can't, because yes, you can fix the stability this way, but you can't fix what's called rotational, because it's so smooth it rotates on itself, even in the cast. So it's not going to heal well. So for those, probably needs to be plated. Now, if there's jagged edges that can fit into each other, and once they do, they stop rotation, and you can use a cast to maintain stability, then you might be able to cast. But the keys to fracture, successful fracture fixation in a cast, you have to immobilize the joint above and the joint below the fracture. Which means if you have a humeral or femoral fracture, the femur, the humerus here, the femur, the thigh, you can't immobilize the joint in a cast, and you can't immobilize the shoulder. So if you have a fracture there, it's going to need to have surgery, either a pin or a plate or cerclage wiring, something. Now, if you have a compound fracture, and that's a fracture that breaks through the skin, chances are it's going to need also a surgical repair. And since you got to go in anyway and clean the muscle and fix it up and reduce it, you may as well just put the plate on or pin, but pin and cerclage. If it's like a fracture that's sort of a slice, okay, so it's not straight like this, but it goes like this. It's almost like a spiral fracture. Those, you can put a pin in and then cerclage around the repaired spiral, depending on how much bone on bone you have to work with. So very young dogs that are still growing, again, even if you could immobilize the joint above and the joint below, they're growing and they grow from the ends, which means you're going to impede growth. So for those, if you really have a situation and you can't afford the surgery and it's a good type of fracture that will heal in a cast, then you need to do this. I leave the cast on for the first 2 weeks, and then I cut the cast both sides like a bagel. I have two ends now like this. Rewrap it, let the tissue grow a little bit, and then hold it, rewrap it again with just some vet wrap or something around it, so you still have the stability top and bottom or side to side, but you've allowed some growth room to grow. But you can't usually leave a cast on for 6 weeks. You can't do that in a growing dog. So again, there's a lot to think about. And the one I just said, one I casted, and I have to say, it came out beautifully. I love casting. I'm old fashioned. They don't teach casting anymore, but I'm a good caster. So did a cast. The other one, as soon as I saw it, I said, it was a puppy, a 6 month old dog. I said, there's no way this could be, and the fracture was perfect. Oh my God. It was like both, it was a radius and ulna, front leg, both were just smooth. There was no way. Sent it to my colleague, who did a beautiful job putting a plate in. And I saw the post-op x-rays, and I just saw the dog to just check its wrap on Friday. And it was gorgeous. So anyway, talk to your veterinarian. If there are any questions, if heaven forbid your dog should be in an accident, somehow breaks a leg, you want to send me the x-rays, I'd be happy to review them with you and throw my two cents in, whether this is something that could be casted or something that could be needs to have a surgical repair. All right, so that's all I have time for. I already ran a couple minutes over. I'll be at 10 o'clock. If you want to go to Talk Shop Live, see my show. We'll talk about products, things that can help your pet. But more importantly, we're going to answer questions. I know that those of you who have come on before have had good questions for me. And again, everybody gets to learn. So I'm glad you had all a safe Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining me here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram Live. This is going to go to podcast, as you know, and all my Pet Life Radio shows are also turned into podcasts. They are available to go. So if you missed one, you can go to Pet Life Radio, go to Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff, and you can see all my shows there. So is that right, Mark? Good. I'm getting a thumbs up. All right. Anyway, thanks for joining me. Please tell your friends if they have pets and they want to have a little fun, ask me questions. I'll help them navigate through some of the, a lot of places that have these young doctors. And again, these young doctors become experienced doctors, but the key is experience, and you need time in order to gain that wisdom of what to do in the situations. It's not just knowledge. They have plenty of knowledge. Obviously, they got into vet school, they graduated vet school. We're not talking about dummies, but as far as to develop that sense of wisdom, you need experience. And that just comes with time and doing. So again, I don't fault these young doctors, but they have a lot to learn. All right. Anyway, so see you here at the same bat time, same bat channel here on Pet Life Radio, here on Instagram Live. And for those of you who are going to tune in, I'll see you in a half hour. For those of you who are not, I will see you here next week. Take care. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.